It's the Augusta Free Press, and it's on the air. From our studios in downtown Waynesboro, it's the Augusta Free Press Show.
Well, here we are again, Crystal, another week. We're in September now. The Augusta Free Press Show. I'm Chris Graham.
I'm Crystal Graham.
And we got a busy show for you this week. As always, joining us will be Hank Zimmerman. Launched a new website. He's based in the northern part of the Shenandoah Valley, but the website is a name you won't forget. ShenandoahValley.com. That's pretty easy to remember.
I bet he paid big bucks for that name.
Yeah, we'll ask him about that, how he landed that name and what he does with that website.
Lucky.
I've been able to, it's a good site. Check it out. And so Hank will be here to talk with us. Also joining us, Bob Johnson. Bob is a local author. I say local, he's based in Waynesboro. He's written a book about his experiences. He's a pastor who was called to serve in a pastoral capacity after 9/11 in New York. He's a New York native, a Long Island native. And so he wrote a book about his experiences. Augusta Free Press Publishing originally published it. Now it's been picked up by a national distributor. So Bob has really taken off in the last year. And of course, we're coming right up on the 6-year anniversary of those September 11th attacks. So good timing for us to talk with Bob about that book, about his experiences, and what he really thinks the big message is there.
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the things he said when he came back, and I worked with him a lot on that book project, you know, but I remember one of the things he said when he came back is, you know, God was everywhere and it was in everything that he did and it followed him there. And a real passionate man. So I look forward to hearing the interview.
That's right. So some good stuff there to talk about. We're going to be out this weekend in downtown Waynesboro. Talk about what we're going to be doing there.
Sure. The New Dominion Augusta Free Press is setting up a booth. It's going to be at the Chili Blues and Brews Festival, a first-time event here in Waynesboro, but it's actually a chili cook-off sanctioned event. You know, it's like apparently there's about 200 of these done nationwide, and you kind of get the best people together. They're very strict about their rules, what you can have in your chili, what you can't, that kind of thing. So there will be actually judges finding the best chili. There will also be a People's Choice Award, so you can say what your best chili is, even if it may not be the same as the judges. And there's lots of things going on. And I'll mention that we'll have a booth there, you know, so people can stop by and just learn more about us. But more importantly, there's going to be, I guess, brews, you know, perhaps some beers there that you can taste. And there's also going to be a car show. So I'm not sure the specifics on that, but I believe it's on the web. It just, if you do a search for Waynesboro Chili Cook-Off, you're going to find it because it's the first one that'll come up. And it's this weekend on Saturday. The public part of the event starts around 11 o'clock. It'll go till around 5. And my understanding is they're going to be there bright and early getting the cooking going for the chili part of it.
I'd like to see the guts on these judges. If you're going to be a good chili judge, you're not going to be somebody skinny with a six-pack of abs.
You never know. Look at that Sonia. I can't think of her last name right now, but the competitive eater here out from Virginia. And she's like super skinny and she goes against all these men and she beats them.
But she's a competitive eater. I'm talking about people who eat lots of chili.
I'm just saying. And in addition, I should mention too, there's going to be blues music. And one of our favorite local performers, somebody who's getting known on the national scene, is Eli Cook. He's going to be there performing with an assortment of other people, Mojo Cookie and the Doughboy. And Tim Spears is going to be making a special appearance. So it's going to be a day of music, brew, chili, and just information. You know, it's going to be a great day.
So Eli Cook and Mojo Cookie and the Doughboys both featured on recent editions of the Augusta Free Press Show. So good plug there. Well, we got a good show coming up. So let's go ahead and get to it. Right back after this.
Want to know what's going on? Check out our calendar of events and get the complete rundown. The Augusta Free Press, www.augustafreepress.com. We want to know what you're thinking. Comment on stories, vote in our polls, get the discussion started. The Augusta Free Press, augustafreepress.com.
We're coming up on the anniversary of the September 11th, 2001 terror attacks, 6th anniversary this year. It'll be a Tuesday, so that'll be sort of an eerie reminder for a lot of people. And our next guest here on the Augusta Free Press Show, Bob Johnson, has more, I guess, things to share about that that experience than the rest. He was actually in New York right after the attacks and spent a lot of time there, and he's written a book about that. I Saw God, In the Midst of Tragedy, a Chaplain's Experience at Ground Zero. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, now tell us, how did you end up in New York right after those attacks, from here in the Valley?
Well, I'm a member of the International Conference of Police Chaplains, and they were asked to come up and send chaplains to the to work with the Port Authority Police Department and the Critical Incident Stress Team of New Jersey. And so we went up, and they assigned us the times when we would go. And my time came in November 11th, and I went twice. I went once in November and then once at Christmas time.
November 11th, so you're 2 months after the tragedies there, but of course it's still lingering very much. It's even today, 6 years later almost, it's still lingering there. But what was it like when you got there?
Well, it was overwhelming. I was amazed at the site itself. You can't imagine what it was like. And you know, you saw it on TV and pictures, but when you see it in person, it was just overwhelming and very humbling. You know, here you have a site that's a graveyard, actually, for 3,000 people and those they could not find, and the workers and the diligent and dedication of the firemen, police, and all the workers that were down in there trying to find their comrades and loved ones, and the volunteers that were set up all around the area, and Pier 94, where they had so many organizations trying to help those who lost loved ones. And it was just overwhelming. It's just tremendous.
We can tell by your accent that you're a native New Yorker.
So, I was born in Long Island.
Born in Long Island. So, mm-hmm. So what was it like for you just going back to New York as you're getting closer? We're used to seeing the skyline with the World Trade Center being prominent, the Twin Towers being prominent. Your first reaction just upon coming into New York and seeing those towers down?
Well, it was very sad. And you know, that was really a part of the skyline of New York, just like the Empire State Building is. And the other buildings there that are there. So that was New York. I mean, that was part of it. And now they were missing. It was really an empty space. So you kind of felt an emptiness that, you know, what hate did for the New York and then for this country. But I saw a lot of love after that, though.
That's what we want to talk about. Bob Johnson, author of I Saw God in the Midst of Tragedy, A Chaplain's Experience at Ground Zero. And so you're there. Of course, you're dealing with your own emotions, just seeing a place that you were born on Long Island, so you're a native New Yorker. You come back home and you see this tragedy, this horror, and yet you're there also to work with the people who are diligently and dutifully doing what they can to recover the victims of the tragedy and clean up afterwards as well. And so they're dealing with their own emotions, and you're there to help assuage their feelings. So, mm-hmm. Talk about that if you could.
Yeah, I you know, when you go there, you're not quite sure, and some people have expectations and of what might happen or what could be and what you're going to do, and I did not. I just felt like I was just going to be assigned to areas, and whatever I was asked to do, I was going to do. And I found out very quickly that my job was to listen and to just be there. And when you wore a chaplain's hat, people looked at you and knew that you represented God and or a higher power to them, and so you are someone they could tell their story to, and that happened many, many times for me. And so I had, I have two ears and one mouth, so the two ears worked well, and I learned to keep quiet, which is not always easy for a preacher, but, you know, for me that time, I learned quickly that the presence of being there really made a big difference for them, and just to thank me for, and other chaplains and other people who served, it was just a very humbling and honoring thing to be able to listen to their stories and to have them tell you what happened and how they were feeling. And so you were just actually just being there as a person to for them to tell you and for you to hear their stories and sound and to be a sounding board. And so I thought it was just a very, very awesome experience for me.
I can imagine a very humbling experience, too, to be a part of that ongoing situation. Bob Johnson joining us here on the Augusta Free Press Show. Second time you go back around Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's a time of year when we maybe make more touch with our spirituality, certainly as a nation, than any other time. So I can imagine it's even more tinged with emotion given with the situation there.
Well, Christmas time is very special for me as well. This is when my wife and I were engaged. So actually on Christmas Eve. So for me to say, look, I was asked to go back at Christmas, for her to say, okay, you can go, was pretty hard for her as well. But she knew that that's what I was called to do. And I knew it as well. So, and when we got there the second time, it was very different than the first time. It was, that was when things were starting to get a little bit more cleaned up. They were still very much looking for the loved ones. And I had an opportunity to still, you know, meet many families and many firemen and police and rescue people that were just needing to have someone there.
Talk about the title of the book, I Saw God. You're there again. You've talked about some of just being able to listen to stories. But I saw God. There's obviously a message there.
Well, people asked me several times, you know, what was going on down in the pit area? And where was God in all this? Well, you know, for me to think about those, and I felt very close to the fact of that, how God worked with me. But when they asked me, where was he, I realized that, you know, this is a very legitimate question. And even I asked that question to myself. But what I found is that I saw God, not literally, as you would say you saw God, but I saw it in people. I saw it in the fire and the rescue and the EMS and the volunteers and the workers and the Red Cross and the hundreds of people that just came. I saw them pulling together, united, working together. It didn't matter who you were or what you were, how short you were, tall, or what color you were. It pulled everybody together. It made us come together as a people. And I realized that God was working in people. And as I see it personally in my faith, I saw God working because it was love, caring, compassion, the very thing that makes up God, were in people that were doing their work. They were so intricate in what they were doing and so dedicated that they would even go down to the finest piece of dirt and to see if they could find something that would identify someone, a loved one. And it was just overwhelming to watch.
What made you want to write this book? I guess obviously wanting to share these stories. You can't just keep them to yourself, but you hadn't written anything.
Oh, I don't even like to read much, to be honest with you. But I don't know. It's just some kind of a compelling feeling inside of me to saying, you know, I want to tell that story. And I want to tell what I saw, and I want to tell what happened down in the pit. I wanted people to see how we reacted to such a hate, but yet love won. You know, terrorists thought that, oh, they had really messed us up, but they did not. We pulled together and love came out and unity and everything else. So I wanted to just tell my story, and I'm finding that people want to hear that. They don't know what happened down there. They don't know what was going on. So hopefully this book will give them the insight of what was happening, what was going on, where was God maybe in all of this, if they have that question. And to see, and then to give them hope. You know, there's hope in tragedy. And I think for us, as this nation pulled together under love and unity, it pulled us together. And so to me, love prevailed. And I wanted to tell about it. And so you all were gracious enough first to pull out the book, Where Was God? And then since then, FaithWorks, STL from Atlanta, a distributor for Christian bookstores, has been willing and picked it up, and a lady was willing to kind of revise the book and go rename it and make it a little bit more professional than I could do it. But, you know, I certainly owe a lot to you also, too, you and Crystal, for, you know, helping me to make the first book. So it's exciting, and I want to get out there and tell people about this, and that's what I really hope it happens.
Yes, full disclosure, Augusta Free Press Publishing helped publish the first version of the book, Where Was God, last year. It came out last year around September 11th. And so as a result, I've gotten to know Bob really well. And the book, it was really compelling. I didn't know what to expect when I first picked up the volume. And you really took us there. And that's what needed to be done. You took us there with you. And you can really, reading the book, feel your emotions and your conflicts about being there and being, you know, guilty over going back. It's a time of a personal time for you at Christmas time and your engagement anniversary and that kind of thing. And you really take us into what it was like to have been there right after this time. And I guess the last question, it's we're coming up on 6 years now, and it doesn't seem like in some respects that it's been that long, and yet so much has changed in the world since then. Is it hard to, is this time of year tough for you, given that you were there afterwards?
Well, your mind and your thoughts go back to that time when you were there. Because I was not only at the World Trade Center, I had the opportunity to be at that crash of 587 that happened on November 12th, right after this. And they thought terrorists had done that, and turned out it did not. But I served there for 3 days, and that's where I met Captain Karen DeShore of the New York Fire Department, who actually is a story in the book. This lady was at Ground Zero when the terrorists came down. So when I think of all these people and all the folks, the families I met and escorted around, and it brings back a lot of memories. And every now and then we called each other, we talked to one another. So it's a time when you just don't ever forget the things that happened. And what I want us to not think about the hate so much, but to look at the hope for the future. And I don't think we'll ever forget it. I think we do make things better, but I don't think it's you know, a time when we can we shouldn't forget, but we should try to remember the unity that pulled us together. And it would be nice if we could do that again and pull together as a country again.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could do that without having a horrible tragedy make us do that? That was the thing that really comes out of that for me as well. Just the way for several weeks afterwards we were one, and maybe we can reclaim that at some point.
Well, if I can help that in any way, that's why I feel very compelled about my future, and I'm hoping that through this book and through doing some positive, uplifting, motivational, encouraging talks or speeches, or I'm willing to go anywhere and do it and take the book with me. It's not about me. It's not about money. It's about reuniting our country again under a love and compassion and caring for one another. And if I can accomplish that for God and for others, I'd be very honored.
The website, you have a new website in the works here. It's, let's see, Chaplain Bob. Oh, this is a tough one to read on the air, but we'll also have a link on our website. It's ChaplainBobWTCMinistry.com. The book is available there already. Now, it'll be in local bookstores here in the Augusta Free Press local region, Waynesboro, Stanton, and other areas here in the coming, week or two?
Mm-hmm.
And so people can look for I Saw God in the Midst of Tragedy, A Chaplain's Experience at Ground Zero. Again, we'll have some more information on the website, AugustaFreePress.com and NewDominion.com, with details and a little story about Bob and his interview here today. Well, Bob, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor again to see you, and thank you again for all you did for me.
You can't tell the players without a scorecard. Elections 2007, your one-stop shop for this year's elections. Headlines from across the valley, the morning edition, weekdays at AugustaFreePress.com.
Joining us now on the Augusta Free Press Show is Hank Zimmerman. Exciting project that Hank's launched in the last couple of months, ShenandoahValley.com. Website that really a portal into the Shenandoah Valley. Hank, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for letting me be here, Chris.
Well, now tell our viewers, listeners, I should say. I'm used to doing some TV work too. Tell our listeners out there about ShenandoahValley.com and what you hope to achieve with it.
ShenandoahValley.com recently launched this summer. I had my opportunity to get my hands on the domain name last spring, and it was like winning the lottery.
That is, yes, that's the name.
There's only one ShenandoahValley.com, and so I had been in the web business. I worked at Shentel in Edinburgh, Virginia. I managed a website there called Shenandoah.com for about 10 years. It was a pioneer, and also did some cable TV work there, the cable TV provider. But getting that domain name just goaded me on to trying to get independent and taking all the experience I had in developing websites and put it into this project. And that's how it came to be.
Sharp looking website, I will say. I first came across it myself just last week with the announcement that the Road Trip to History series is going to be, I guess the web debut of that was last week, last Saturday, I believe.
Yes.
Talk about that. How did you land? That's a big thing to land for a new website.
That was, and there's been a lot of serendipity in this whole project, just the right things happening at the right time. So I think I'm on the right track with it. But Shentel is a sponsor of their Civil War series, and that's Wayne Bronson out of Kearneysville, West Virginia. And lining up the spot that Shentel purchased for Road Trip to History, I got to know Wayne, and I'd already had plans on making this move. And I said, Wayne, I'm going to come see you after we're done, because I think we have a natural similarity between Shenandoah Valley, the Great Road. Of course, this series is on the Great Valley Road. He was extremely enthusiastic about it. He's another kind of single operator. And he gave me rights to the entire series. What I had done was, again, I've been a maniac on a mission, I like to call it, over the summer. I took his six programs for Dayton, Harrisonburg, and the towns in Shenandoah County, and I call it slicing and dicing. If there was 15 interview segments in each program, I would have 15 programs, and each of them has a start and a finish, an intro and an outro, and they run about 2 to 4 minutes. What I thought I would do, I didn't want to give away the farm for Wayne. Wayne's selling DVDs, and the towns are selling DVDs. So you can actually see, for example, all of the Harrisonburg segments, but you have to come back to the website frequently. And that's, of course, my selfish interest.
Yes.
But I launched this series and wrote all the programming for it. Every day a new series comes up automatically, and that will run from, as you said, last week, September 1st, down through December 8th. I think there's about 100 segments total.
So ShenandoahValley.com to check those segments out. What else can people look for on there? I've seen things, you know, news bits, of course, stories about places to go in the valley. I mean, just tell us more about what you really want to do with the site.
I will tell you, and I just like to digress, and I'm the master of digression, but I do have a little bit of a history. I was involved in the 511 project. Actually, my website at Shentel, Shenandoah.com, kind of spawned Travel Shenandoah, which was a pilot project between VDOT, Virginia Tech, and Virginia Tourism. It was a big deal. We were the first ones to put voice-activated information where you could call and get your road information from, at that time, down to Roanoke. When 511 came to be, it was still a pilot project, and we branched out to Bristol. A few years later, 511 went statewide, and it went on to bigger and better things. But during that time, we had been involved in the tourism industry. We were partnering with the Shenandoah Valley Travel Association, which I'm a member of right now, also Virginia.org. And so I got a little bit of a taste of the tourism industry and really always loved the destination industry. You want to talk about a fun industry. It seems like people in tourism, I know they work hard, but they seem to have a lot of good gatherings and parties too. So it intrigued me at that time. I also felt that in the web, videos is necessary. Even this is years ago, but we had started putting videos on Shenandoah.com, I'd say in the early 2000s. And having hosted a cable TV program, a little local interview program in Shenandoah County, we used to put bits of it on the web. So I'm very familiar with the technology of getting videos on the web. So we put all that all together, and I just realized that with a name like Shenandoah Valley, you can't not be involved in tourism traveling. And when I envisioned this website, I had a very clear idea about what I wanted it to be. I envisioned somebody standing in Washington, D.C., and getting a warm and fuzzy about Shenandoah. And what was that? And the things that really came back to me were definitely history, the Civil War. I mean, that's really a major draw for the area. And with the burning, I mean, it's just so ingrained on the character of the valley. Arts, and by arts, I mean music and visual arts. There's a ton of small galleries. The Shenandoah Valley is like a light that attracts moths, in my opinion. Artists and musicians from all over, just an incredible array of talent. So I feel that arts were going to be on there. And, of course, visits. One hard reality is people come to the valley, they don't really know how to get around. It's not laid out like the beach where it's one big long strip. So I have a good Google map on there, and I have a lot of just easy to use resources for people that just want to find out how to get here. And that's the basis of the website.
Because the valley is so big, it's so diverse, up and down this great mountain range in Virginia. And even people who live here can learn from this. I've learned that myself just from looking at the site that, from Winchester, we're about, 90 or 100 miles here from our base in Waynesboro. And there's just so much in between here and there that even I, who've lived here all my life, have not explored. So even for people who are Valley natives, Valley long-timers, they can learn a lot from the site.
It's interesting because it's so overwhelming to think of, you know, when I call myself the mouse that is roaring, I'm a single operator trying to get my arms around the entire valley. And if you think about what's going on in Winchester and Harper's Ferry, I consider Jefferson County as part of the valley. It was part of Virginia till the Civil War. But that is so, I don't know, influenced, and there's a lot of growth from Northern Virginia and the D.C. area. And then you get over here up the valley, and just driving here to Waynesboro today, it's just a pleasant trip to be away from that. But it's such a different character. And yet I feel, and unlike some folks think the Roanoke Valley is part of the Shenandoah Valley, I draw my line at Natural Bridge. But yet we are all drawn together with the beauty and the mountain ranges on either side of the valley and, of course, the Shenandoah River. One thing I wanted to share with you was I had known Madeline McNeil, who is a hammered dulcimer player and used to play on Skyline Drive in the 70s. She goes way back. She has done the absolute best version of O Shenandoah I ever heard. And I talked to her into allowing me to put the entire cut on there. And it's on there with the song lyrics.
I've been making an effort. A local state senator, Emmett Hanger, has been off and on heading up a committee at the General Assembly level to replace the old state song. O Shenandoah is what I've been advocating for several years. It captures Virginia, and it's a good tune, too.
It is. It is.
Hank Zimmerman from ShenandoahValley.com joining us here on the Augusta Free Press Show. And so Reminder, once again, the Road Trip to History series is the big thing right now through December 8th.
Yes.
Look for clips of that on the site and lots of other fun stuff. ShenandoahValley.com. You can't forget that address, ShenandoahValley.com, because it's where we are. So, and, of course, there will be also a story on the AugustaFreePress.com from this interview, a little bit more about Hank Zimmerman and what he's trying to do there. Hank, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
The place to go to find local news and views. Our news and blogs link at AugustaFreePress.com. Headlines from across the valley. The Morning Edition. Weekdays at AugustaFreePress.com.
Once again, I want to thank our guests, Bob Johnson and Hank Zimmerman, for joining us here on this week's Augusta Free Press show. And, yeah, Crystal's in here complaining about how hot it is. Are we in an oven in here? It's a studio.
Yeah, Chris complains about this all the time, and I guess I never really sit in here for long periods of time. But, you know, we happen to be in a studio where there's no air conditioner. And despite the fact that we're in September, it's still really hot.
Yes, indeed, it is. We're getting there to that point of the year. You know, looking at that weather forecast, we're looking at, you know, maybe some 70s at the end of this next 6 or 7 day period. So
are we going to hear you complain pretty soon about how cold it is in here? I'm guessing if it's hot, there might be some drafts in here.
Actually, we've been in this office long enough to know that in the wintertime when the heat kicks on, it's also very hot. So either way we go, we're going to be warm.
All right.
Well, Morning Edition, we have a... On our website, weekdays, Monday through Friday, 9 to 9:30, we have headlines to links to stories in papers across the Augusta Free Press region, stretching from Central Virginia to the Shenandoah Valley to the northern part of the valley up in the Winchester area. So check that out every day, and we have some highlights from there this week. Of course, tragic news in Nelson County last week, a mother and her two daughters killed in a car accident on the Route 6, Route 151 area there in Nelson County. And the news, not just that, that's sad enough, but what's really sad is Nelson County Board of Supervisors apparently last year had petitioned the Commonwealth Transportation Board for a lane restriction, basically restricting truck traffic, because that's a popular area between Interstate 64 at the top of Afton Mountain, a cut through to 29 if you're heading south towards Lynchburg. It saves about 15 or 20 miles. Commonwealth Transportation Board denied that request, and of course the accident involved a mother and her two daughters. They were traveling in their car, and they were plowed into by a trailer truck that was going full speed. So you hate to hear that kind of news, that somebody had actually foreseen problems with that, and some state policy officials didn't see the need to do anything about it.
It's tragic, but if anything good could ever possibly come out of this, it's that maybe there will be a change now. Because, you know, anytime something like this happens, it gets another look. And if the change is made now, perhaps this will prevent any future thing. It's really a shame in this day and age that it takes a tragedy like this, you know, to look at it again and to make changes. I have no doubt now that they'll look at it and they'll make the necessary changes, because there's going to be a lot
actually,
of pressure.
I'll doubt that they'll make the change, because it is a 20-mile cut through, and the reason cited last year by the Commonwealth Transportation Board, you hate to say it, but they actually said that the increased cost of trucking companies, that extra 20 miles of driving that they have to do, seem to be more important than lives. And I just wonder if that's going to change because of...
Well, it better change. It better.
My cynicism tells me that it probably, unfortunately, won't. Hey, last week, better note here, we had Lori Smith on this show to talk about the, at that time, then pending fall referendum in Waynesboro on several capital improvements projects. The news this week that Circuit Court judge has approved that it is going to be on the ballot. There will be a referendum this fall. And so Waynesboro voters will get to vote on the future of several projects, including a West End fire station, lighted ball fields, which have been talked about here for going on 10 years now in Waynesboro, and some other important project as well. So that is on the ballot. We kind of knew it was going to be, but it's just a formality. But formalities sometimes aren't what they seem to be.
Yeah, I guess you can expect that the turnout in Waynesboro might be higher. I mean, those are a lot of hot button issues that people want to weigh in on. And boy, I live in the county, but I wish I could weigh in. I work here in Waynesboro and would love to have a voice in some of those issues. But I guess Waynesboro residents will be informed. There'll be information put out there on both sides of this. I think a forum is planned to discuss it. And,
well, a forum is being planned by the Augusta Free Press.
Right.
We'll be working to put some news together. More news on that soon. That's right. Want to tip off, using this section to tip off our top story for the week. Of course, every Friday now on the AugustaFreePress.com, we have a top story, a big issue of the week, and we take a huge bite out of it as best we can. Now, it's based on something we did on the show last week. Last week, we had
a discussion of the process the city of Stanton's going through in terms of trying to create a tourism brand for the city, and they're going through that process. I think it's supposed to wrap up sometime next month, and we're examining that issue in depth, and I have a story where we talked with representatives of tourism offices in Charlottesville and Harrisonburg, both of which have recently gone through efforts. Charlottesville, a very strenuous 18-month-long effort to that end.
Well, it's an interesting process. You know, with Charlottesville and Harrisonburg are both going through it, I'll be interested to see what everybody comes up with as far as what their branding is, and I'll be really interested to see what Stanton comes up with, and it's great that they're getting the input for
it's
that now.
It's so hard to do. I mean, we work in this business. We talked about this last week. You know, creating a brand, which is some sort of a logo, maybe a tagline with a couple of words in it, it sounds easy. I mean, how hard does that work, right? It's not very strenuous, but it can take months to do. And at the end of the process, there are going to be critics. There are going to be people say, why did you leave this out? Why did you focus on this instead of this? It can be a very interesting process. So to see these, it's interesting to see this going on, and we'll have more in-depth on that tomorrow.
I look forward to reading that.
So let's wrap this up. The morning edition, once again, every weekday morning on the Augusta Free Press, AugustaFreePress.com. Also, don't forget, sign up for our newsletter. If you missed anything during the week, you get a chance. There's a link on the top of the front page of the Augusta Free Press, AugustaFreePress.com. Where you can sign up for it. It's free once again. It gives you all the headlines to important stories we've written, also the link to this podcast, and give you more information there too. So, well, a great week once again. I want to thank everybody for listening, and
we'll talk again soon.
The Augusta Free Press Show is a production of Augusta Free Press Publishing, all rights reserved. For more on the Augusta Free Press, check out our website, AugustaFreePress.com. That's AugustaFreePress.com.